Open your Bible, please, the book of Zechariah. Zechariah, please, chapter 7, and we're going to read verse 4. Zechariah chapter 7, verse 4. I want to give you time to find your place. So the outward man perisheth, but the inward man is renewed daily. So what does the inward man need? What does the inward man need? Well, he needs the right kind of spiritual diet. Well, biblically, if you go to the book of Ephesians, it says, speaking to yourself in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Not what everybody calls today music. It's not music. And you know, I've been on the radio 32 years of my life. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes there's a lot of things I hear that I don't like.
Yeah, amen.
I keep my radio tuned on 90.5. I listen to CDs all the time. I love good gospel music. God knows I do. I love Kenny Calloway. Anybody here know Kenny Calloway? I'd rather hear him. He ministers to me. I love Kenny Calloway. But anyway, he writes a lot of his stuff. But if you listen to the secular radio system, it is no wonder that our minds is so messed up. Say amen right there. It's not like it is, Billy, back in 30 years ago. It's just not like it is. The longer something's done, the more people that do it, it becomes accepted. And especially when people of authority put their approval on it. So we find, well, Brother Sisson, now, let me just, what they call Christian rock concerts. There's no such thing as Christian rock concert. No such thing. But that's what appeals to people. And now then, and I'll show you what I mean in a minute. There, in my 50 plus years, I've seen this deterioration. I've seen the bottom fall out of it. What used to be centers for gospel preaching, choir lofts, I mean, be 100 people in the choir loft. They've now painted the ceilings black. And they put strobe lights. And preachers, so-called preachers, they'll ride a motorcycle up on it with their leathers on, and he's got hair down on his shoulders, and they're playing this stuff through the church PA system. Yeah. I'd get up and walk out.
Yeah.
Did I say that?
Right.
I would just absolutely, first off, I wouldn't be there.
Right.
But I'm talking about what the deterioration of what we call now, what we call Christian, is not really Christian. I bet me and Mary's been talking about biblical Christianity in years gone by is not what we now call biblical Christianity. We have been so slowly, subtly brainwashed till people, when you talk about biblical Christianity, they don't even know what you're talking about. They're talking about some religious form. That's not real Christianity. The devil is a master at counterfeiting. He's counterfeited the music. He's counterfeited the men of God. He's counterfeited them.
Yes.
And people today, and by the way, let me say this. In years gone by, the true church, Jesse, the true church, was way out here.
Yes.
Way out here in the front.
Right.
Now the true church is way back here, and the counterfeit's way up there.
Right.
Did I ever tell you, going up here to the bank, this lady is a personal friend of mine. She's been a friend to me for 50 years of my life. I went up and I told her, I do not want to be a stat, no computer. Now, 40 years ago, computers was big as this church building.
Right.
Now then, they're miniaturized to where you can put them on a dot. But I'm talking about, I didn't want to be a stat in a computer. So, Ben, let me show you what I done. I said, my name's Preacher Melvin Sisson. I said, I don't want to be a stat, no computer. I said, if I'm out somewhere on the road, I want a personal banker that I can call that knows me and I know you.
Yeah.
Will y'all say this or do this?
Amen.
When I, years ago, Hope, this is how you did this. You just shook hands with somebody,
right,
and that your word was your bond.
Right.
And you give somebody your word, that was all you had needed.
Yeah.
So I told him, when I'm out on the road, I don't want, if I have to call home, if I'm going to be gone 3 or 4 weeks, and I want you to put some money in my banking account, my checking account.
Right.
Okay, we'll do that. Let me tell you what I've done. She is such a friend of mine. I went to her one day and I stood at the bank and I was standing there just as quiet. I was putting some money in, thank God, amen. I'm standing there and she comes to the, like this, and this teller walks up and says, excuse me, and she does this. And it was a $20 bill. Well, I seen them do that. And she held it up like this and handed it back to her. You know how inquisitive my nature is. So I asked her, I said, was that a counterfeit? She said, fortunately, no. So I asked her, I said, what do you do? Do you send them tellers to school to learn what a counterfeit is? You know what she told me? We send them to school to learn the real thing. And said, if you know what the real thing is, you don't have no problem with a counterfeit. Boy, that resonated with me. She said, we send them to school to learn the real thing. Well, if you know what the real thing is, you don't have no problem with a counterfeit. Amen. And by the way, a counterfeit can reproduce a $100 bill. It took us 7 years to engrade it, and it took them 1 week to counterfeit it.
Right.
Ain't that real?
Right.
So the devil is counterfeited so-called biblical Christianity.
Right.
Walking down an aisle is not being saved.
Right.
Going through all this stuff that everybody goes through with. And I mean this from my heart. When you look in Zechariah 7, you know where I'm going. Look, please, in your Bible, and I want to show this, and we're going to read it slowly and distinctly. Look back in verse 4 in Zechariah chapter 7. Verse 4, then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, speak unto all the people of the land, to the priest, saying, now I want you to watch this, when you fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, even those 70 years, did ye at all fast unto me, even to me? Question mark. And when you did eat, when you did drink, did you not eat or drink for yourselves and drink for yourselves? Question mark. Should you not hear the words which the Lord hath cried by the former prophets when Jerusalem was inhabited in the prosperity and the cities thereof round about her, when men inhabited the south and the plain? Now notice now, he brings up that how they had a time of prosperity. Now drop down to verse 8. The word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, thus speak the Lord of hosts, saying, execute true judgment, show mercy, there it is, Brother Porter, and compassion to every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. Let none of you imagine evil against his brothers in your heart. Now look in verse 11. I want you to underscore every time the word they is using. But they refused to hearken. They pulled away the shoulder. And they stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts has sent in the Spirit by the former prophets. Wherefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it is come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear. Now won't you watch? So they cried, and notice now, I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passeth through nor returneth, for they laid the pleasant land desolate. I want to preach tonight on, I want to use verse 13, on the day that God will not hear. If you notice in your Bible, it plainly says, they cried, they would not hear, so they cried, I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. All right, young people, look at me for a moment. Look at me, all of y'all that's under 20. Did you know very few people get saved after 75?
Right.
Very few people ever come to the saving knowledge of Christ once they get past about 75 or 80 years old.
Right.
The Bible says, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. In Hebrews it says three times, harden not your heart. Today if you hear his voice. All right, now listen to me. How many of y'all got saved before the age of 20? Would you raise your hand? I raised mine. You got saved before you got to the age of 20. All right, how many of y'all got saved past the age of 60? Would you raise your hand? Nobody. Ain't that a sight? Did you know I've only won one person in my life, Merle, to the Lord, and she was 91 years old. 91 years old. I'll never forget her to the day I die. 91 years old. She's down on her knees. I was in Lynchburg, Virginia. She is crying, weeping, sobbing. I was at the altar with her, and the preacher on one side, me on the other. She looked up at me, and here's what she said. Preacher Sisson, I'm lost. I, for the first time in my life, I realize I'm lost, and I'm going to hell. 91 years old, and she was a member of the United Methodist Church there in Lynchburg. So I went through, and I showed her how to be saved. And I wanted to make absolutely sure she understood 91 years old. All right, I prayed with her. I told her, I said, now you have to ask the Lord to save you. I can't do it. I said, now you came to the end of yourself. Right here, right now, we can solve this matter for time and eternity. Boy, you could hear her calling out to the Lord. Lord, I'm ashamed of myself. Lord, I'm ashamed that I've been religious all my life. God, save me. You don't never know what people's going to say. So I stood her up, 91 years old, and I asked her, I said, tell them what happened. She said, I just got saved. But I don't know how. I don't know why I didn't get saved beforehand. I said, sis, you ought to just thank God that you got saved. Because not many people get saved at no 90
Absolutely.
Years old.
Right.
She said, would you eat breakfast with me in the morning? I thought, boy, I was going to get ham and biscuits and gravy. You know, I thought that. She said, meet me down at McDonald's. 91 years old, I go down there, and so help me, Brother Benny. She's got a mop in her hand. She's a mop in McDonald's. She said, they wanted to be a hostess. And I said, give me a mop and room. I'm going to clean this nasty place up. 91 years old. Hey, boy, she loves the Lord. I mean, she was baptized. She followed the Lord. Every time the doors was open, 91 years old, she lived a deceived life. Now, watch this. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. All right, Brother Porter sang the song a moment ago. I'm glad, thank God, mercy's ajar. I'm glad you can be saved. Amen. We're living what's called in the dispensation of grace. But the door is gradually closing. Now, you're here tonight, and I appreciate you coming, but I want you to go back, and I want you to look in your Bible. I want you to write this down on Friday of your Bible. Now, go back and look what he says in verse 4. All right, we're talking about the 70 years of the Babylonian captivity, that Israel was in captivity. All right, the Lord said, or if you look in verse 4, I mean the fifth and seventh month, even those 70 years, did you fast unto me, even to me? All right, if today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Now talk back to me. Can the church save you?
No.
Well, do something or say something. No. Church can't save you. All right, can turn it over a new leaf save you?
No.
They'll say, preacher, I quit my drinking. Well, bless the Lord. Well, yeah, I quit my cussing. Wonderful. All right, but I'm telling you tonight, all of them things cannot enter, get you into the kingdom of God. You have to be born into the family of God. All right, the Spirit of God has to convict you of your sin. When you're young, you're tender-hearted. Say amen right there. You're not sin-hardened.
Right.
I wish they had me a mirror. Most people get saved before the age of 20.
Yes.
That's because they're not sin-hardened. The Bible teaches us, all right, if today you hear his voice, harden not your heart. So if you don't listen to that voice at a tender age, you're putting layers between you and God.
Right.
Amen. Layers between you and God. This is what Israel was doing. He said, did y'all fast? That's in verse 4. And did you did you at all fast unto me? No. And then verses 5-6, did you eat and drink? No. But now watch in verse 8. And the word of the Lord came to me, Zechariah said, thus speaketh the Lord. Now watch. But they refused to hearken. All right, now listen to me. They refused to listen. I wish I'd have got saved when I was real young. Am I the only one? I wouldn't have all these scars on me if I'd have got saved when I was real young. I wouldn't have all this junk up here in my mind if I hadn't lived in them old hell holes and honky-tonks and poo rooms. I wish I'd have never put that in. But guys, are y'all listening to me? I'd give anything if my mind had an edit button on where I could edit that junk. Some of y'all think I've been edited anyway. But I'm talking about the junk that's in my mind. Somebody said, Brother Simpson, when you get saved, your mind is not saved. Your mind has to be renewed. Read Romans chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. But be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Brother Billy was talking about having peace of mind and being at peace with you. You know what's wrong with people, Brother Billy? They're not at peace with themselves. That's what's wrong with them. They're not at peace with themselves.
Right.
All right, how can you be at peace with yourself? You must have an intimate, personal relationship with the Lord Jesus.
Right.
Amen. That will give you, that's what's called inner peace with yourself. Now, as much as you feed that inner man, guess what? But now look in verse 11. Look in verse 11, and I'm not preaching yet. All right, so they refuse to listen. Well, if you go to the book of Revelation, 7 times it says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith.
Yes.
It's not that God's not speaking.
Right.
We're just not listening. In fact, I believe we've turned a deaf ear. I really, truly believe, and wait till I show you this. And this, y'all, some of y'all have been saved as long as I have been. You know what I'm talking about. It's as though the Spirit of God has just departed. It's as though the Spirit of God is absolutely saying, all right, you don't want me? I'm leaving. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith. I told somebody the other day, and they got all upset at me. The Bible says in the book of Thessalonians that God's going to pull them out of strong delusion, that they believe a lie, that they might be damned because they didn't receive the love of the truth. Please listen to me. They refuse to listen. Look in your Bible. Verse Zechariah. They refuse to listen. All right. How many of you in this building would be honest with me and you got saved, you had an old mom that loved God, or a grandpa or grandma that loved God, or a preacher that loved God? All right. But Brother Porter, did you get saved the first time that you heard the gospel? I venture to say you didn't. All right, that's all of us, if you'd really be honest. I wish I'd have listened. Say amen. Yeah. I wished I'd have listened. Mom said, I'm going to make you wish you'd listen.
Right.
How many of y'all ever been told this? Mom said, are you looking at me? Then she gets you by the face. Are you listening to me? Don't go out on that road after you get run over. Are you listening? Y'all must not have had a mom like me. And then we'd go ahead and do it anyway. Oh, Lord, then she'd cut the blood out of you. Y'all don't know nothing about that. But my point is, they refuse to listen. Look in your Bible, verse 11. They refuse to listen. They flat out just refuse. And I don't mean this in an ugly fashion. You young people, listen to me. Young people today, you can't tell them nothing. They think they know everything. Let me inform you. You don't know everything.
Right.
You'll know a lot more when you're 25 than you do now than when you're 18.
Right.
Now say amen. You'll know a lot more at 35 than you do it when you're 25.
Right.
But we're living in a time, and I know you're saying, well, preacher, we're living in a different era of time. They hear, but they don't even want to listen to it. Boy, I got a hold to this, and this changed me. Y'all remember used to, they had those things in the back of pickup trucks that says no fear?
Yes.
Did you have one of them, Jesse? Tell your daddy on you. How many of y'all remember what I'm talking about? They had in the back of a pickup truck, no fear.
Right.
So man, we was down in Aiden, North Carolina, so me and the preacher's out visiting. So he and I, we pulled up and said, Brother Sisson, I gotta get my wife's prescription. So we pulled up in front of a drugstore. It must have been 100 degrees that day, sitting right beside a pickup truck, and it said no fear. So I just got out of the pickup truck, went over and introduced myself. I said, tell me, son, what does that mean? That no fear? He said, it means no fear. Just like that. I said, in other words, the Bible says, and he said, are you a preacher? And I did have a tie on. But how he distinguished I was a preacher, I don't know because I hadn't told him yet. Here's what he said. I said, the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom.
Yes.
The fear of the Lord. All right. He says, no fear, no fear. And then he went on to tell me, he said, well, I just put it there because it's the thing to do. I just look at me for a moment. But what I'm saying is people today, there is no fear. They don't have no fear. How many of y'all remember my boy Nathan that got killed? I've got to tell you this. I came in and Nathan said, Dad, you need to see this. Called me in his room. Everybody look up here. Dad, you need to see this. So I just stepped in the room and there was his computer on his desk. And he had borrowed a game from one of his buddies and put in there. And I'm telling you, Billy, I couldn't believe it to this day. It's still so embedded in my mind. On that screen about this big, it showed this game of this man and he had a sword and he was cutting the head off. And when he cut his head off, the blood spattered on the screen. I jumped back. I said, what in the world are you, what is that? Look at y'all's faces. He said, Dad, I forget it was one of his buddies, let him have it. I said, son, you need to get that out of that computer. You need to get that thing out of this house. I never seen nothing that gross in my life. I mean, blood spattered on the screen. And I can just imagine how bad they are now. Do this. All right, if you put that junk in your mind, it's just exactly like, and listen to me, if you're unsaved, the devil will work on your mind to the extent to where, what is wrong with us, Brother Sisson? They refuse to listen. Mom, you say, don't get on the road, you'll get run over. Don't do that. Don't go there. Don't be involved in that. They're trying to tell you, don't do it.
Right.
But we won't listen.
Right.
Amen, Brother Sisson. Yes. That's in verse 11. Now watch, I got to show it to you. Look, if you would, in verse 12. Everybody, verse 12. Now, I want you to watch this. Well, back up to verse 11 before we get away from it. Thereby the Bible says, verse 11, but they refused to hearken, they pulled away the shoulder. They pulled away their shoulder. I got to think, not only people reject, they don't want any good biblical advice. They don't. Did you know evil companions corrupt good manners? All right, brother, it don't make no difference who I run with. Yes, it does. It matters a whole lot of who you run with. But what I'm saying is, you tell them, they reject it. They say, oh, preacher, you need to get up. You don't know how many times it's been told me. I'm Neanderthal. I'm out of date. Antiquated. I plead guilty to all three charges. I don't want to get up to date. I don't want to be in this up-to-date society, up-to-date culture. But that, you know as well as I do, people refuse, but they reject. I guarantee you. Now, I want you to look in verse 11. They pulled away the shoulder. Now, remember, these are people that hadn't fasted. They hadn't even mourned. They hadn't even talked. They even had the Lord on their mind. Now, watch it. But look in your Bible in verse 11. Here's what it says. And the shoulder, and they stopped their ears. Would y'all give me some, tell me something. How come kids bite each other? Well, somebody give me, help me.
Demons.
Well, if you go over to the book of Acts, the Bible says they gnashed on with their teeth. What I'm saying is, why does people do that? You ever seen a little girl or a little boy, they just stop their ears up. I ain't listening to you. All right, they stop their ears. Now watch this, look in your Bible. They stop their ears. If you go to the book of Acts chapter 7, when they're stoning Stephen, they stopped their ears. So we find not only they refused, but then the Bible says they rejected. But now notice this wasn't the Bible. I've got to show it to you, then I'm going to preach it to you. You know, I wished I could say, Porter, let me ask you, did you ever drink before you got saved? Good. How many of you ever, Merle, you didn't drink. Did you? Doc, did you ever drink? Did you ever drink? I'd give anything in the world, Merle, if I'd have never tasted of alcohol. You want me to say that again? I'd give anything in the world if I had never tasted alcohol. I wish I'd have never smoked my first cigarette. I wish I'd have never hung out in poo rooms. What are you trying to get me to see, Brother Sisson? Boy, I'm glad God forgives you. But sometimes I believe young people hear us say this, and they say, well, you didn't come out too bad. But you don't know how much heartache has been between there and here. Are y'all listening to me? Now, won't you what? They refuse. They stop their ears. Now, drop down, and I got to show you this. I got to hurry to go. They recklessly, just stop their ears. Grown people stop their ears, just recklessly stop their ears. Now, won't you drop down, watch this. Determined. It's just like people are determined to shut the message out. They don't even apply what they hear. You know, I got to think about something. Jess, you ever had surgery? Have you? You ever been cut on? Have you been cut? I got a good sharp pocket now. No, I don't. I'm sorry. All right. When a person... Did you ever think a surgeon has to hurt you before he ever cuts you? You ever thought about it? Really, you're under anesthetic, but when he's using that scalpel, the only reason you don't feel it is you're under the anesthetic. Correct?
Right.
Correct.
Right.
All right. But it's like today in our culture, in our lives, we're so reckless, we stop our ears, we refuse to listen. And we run every red light. Amen. I mean, spiritual red light. Just I'm going to live my own life the way I want to. I'm going to do what I do. Say amen. You might as well disagree. And then God starts, he puts us, the scalpel to us. I got to show you this. Now watch what they do. There's three things. I want you to write them down. Write them on fly leaf your Bible. Notice, and I've used it untold times, it says, and they made their hearts as adamant stone. It's a Latin word. It's the hardest of all substance. Adamant. Now I want you to watch it. Adamant stone, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts, great wrath from the Lord. And by the way, did he bring down the great wrath? Folks, how many of y'all seen the flood this morning on the news? Man, my heart broke for me, and it showed them people just like that flood came up. We look at all these things, and I told Mary, it's so commonplace anymore. It's getting so worse. Shootings are so commonplace, they don't even hardly air it anymore. We're getting so used to the wrath of God.
Right.
And everybody says, ah, that ain't God. And I get so aggravated. People say, well, that's Mother Nature. You ever met her? Ain't that pitiful, Mother Nature. God controls the weather. Say amen.
Amen.
But notice in your Bible, they refused the advice. Sure, they rejected it. But now look down, if you would, that adamant stone. I don't know how y'all feel. I don't like my heart being real hard. I like being tenderhearted. But I'm not always tenderhearted. I'll be the first one to raise my hand. The Bible says they made their hearts as an adamant stone. They did. Now, won't you watch this? Now, what? Rock hard. What do you mean by saying they made their hearts? The Bible says, and they should hear the law and the words with the Lord of hosts, and great wrath from the Lord of hosts. But look in verse 13. Therefore it came to pass, and he cried, they would not hear.
Right.
You've got a good preacher. We hear Isaiah 6. We hear, but we don't apply what we hear. If you read Isaiah chapter 6, it shows you, they'll hear, but they won't hear. This is the time that we're living in. Most of us have got Bibles galore.
Right.
Sometimes I get so ashamed of myself. I've got Bibles in my study. I got Bibles upstairs, downstairs, in the bathroom. I got Bibles everywhere. But I get to thinking about people in a third world country would give anything to have a copy of the Word of God. Hey, I met some of the best preachers I ever met in my life in the jungles of New Guinea. They won't be in the sword of the Lord. They won't be out here running up and down the streets. But I'll tell you one thing. They got villages village preachers. They got a dirt floor. They live in a bamboo hut. Listen to me, but boy, you talk about loving God. That's what we need is a revival of just loving God. A revival where we'll hear what thus saith the Lord and then do what he says.
Right.
How does God speak to you today? Sometimes I believe people get confused. You are indwelt by the Spirit of God, but then you have God's Word.
Right.
God uses men of God. Amen, Brother Sisson. Yeah. Do you ever preach something, Brother Billy, and you say, you're amazed on your own self why you preached it? You think, why did I preach that?
Right.
Okay. And then down the road somebody say, you know what you preached about 3 or 4 weeks ago?
Yeah.
That really, truly helped me.
Right.
But at that particular time, but see, we don't think that God uses men like that.
Yeah.
We don't think that sometimes when you open your Bible and sometimes it just falls on a verse,
right,
and God's using that verse to speak to you.
Yes, amen.
And boy, you can't believe how many times in 30, 40 some years of my life, Miss Chris, you cannot believe how many times I've been accused of this. I've been accused of this, of getting meeting with the preacher meeting with him,
right,
and then he speaks to me, puts all this stuff in my ears, and all the time your doorbell's ringing, you just won't go answer the door.
Yeah.
But I mean, people think that. They think that he and I got together, and boy, I know, you know that woman back there in that red sweater, you know her, that gray hair, you know, that's the woman.
Yeah.
That's not true.
Nope.
He ain't said a word to me. But I'm saying, if your doorbell's ringing, go answer the door. Yeah, and they get mad at us, but we didn't make the bills.
Right.
We just put the bill in the box. Y'all are pitiful. I got to show you now. Watch. Watch what they done. Verse 12, the hardest of a stone is an adamant stone. But now look in verse 12. By the former prophets, therefore, came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Now, I want you to watch this. This is what I said. All that to say this. He says, or man, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. Have you ever thought about this? There come a day, Brother Junior, that God won't hear you. But that gets a hold of my heart. If you look in your Bible, they made their hearts as adamant stone.
Right.
And notice, they would talk to God, but then God said, I won't hear.
That's right.
Boy, that gets a hold of me. That's about where we're at today. It's about where we're at right today. You don't see souls being saved.
Right.
Spring revival, fall revival, nothing
right.
in between.
Yep.
Used to, a long time ago, we had a 2-week revival right up here in Burnside. You remember that, Porter? 2-week revival right up here at the storefront, right? 2-weeker, didn't we?
Right.
That people gave of themselves to come to a revival meeting.
Right.
All right, listen to me. What, now then, they've gone down to 3 days.
Yep.
Right. I'm telling you before the Lord.
Right.
I'm just telling you like it is. 3-day weekend, and now then, they got down to 2 days a weekend. You don't even hear of a week's revival hardly anymore. You don't hear of a 2-week revival. I stated. Hopewell over in Corbin. I stayed there 21 days.
Amen.
Had 20 people get saved.
Amen.
I never will forget it. Ain't that a sight? Woo! You talk about a happy camper. But I'm talking about, if you look in verse 13, God said he wouldn't hear.
Right.
Now flip over hope to Isaiah 59 with me. I want you to watch this. Let me put it all together. Isaiah 59. Keep your finger in Zechariah. I want to read this to you, verse 1. I'm talking about the results. He says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. A stranger they will not follow. But Isaiah 59, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear.
Right.
Y'all see that?
Right.
But look in verse 2. But your iniquities have separated you between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Now, how would you like to be, Jess? How would you like for your mom to call you and say, son, you need to come to the emergency room? You go to the emergency room, and that little door, that little room they got back there, Brother Biddy, and boy, that I don't like that little room. I'll be honest with you, I don't like it. But you go back there, and they're all crying, and they're weeping and sobbing, and somebody's really bad, or maybe they've had a stroke or whatever. Now watch this. How would you like for that to be in your life and go back there and knowing that you got somebody right at the point of death, and they say, let's pray. You pray, but then God don't hear you.
Right.
That's what the book says, Isaiah 59.
Amen.
Do you remember, what was Ronnie's last name, Mary? Ronnie. High Point. What was his name?
Rogers.
Ronnie Rogers. Anybody here know Ronnie Rogers? Preacher. I was pastoring then. High Point Baptist in Cincinnati. It was on Labor Day. Ronnie, he's about 30 at that time. Him and his brother-in-law went up into a cove to fish. Said the water was just as still as it could be. I mean, they're out there fishing. Said all of a sudden they heard a crack. And a tree came falling just like this, straight down, right over that boat, and hit Ronnie right here and broke Ronnie's neck. He's laying there in the water, and his brother-in-law is trying to hold his head up like this, trying to keep his chin out of the water. And Ronnie said, pray for me, pray for me, pray for me. And you know what his brother-in-law said? I can't pray. God don't hear me. I went down to visit Ronnie. Do y'all know what a hoop bed is?
Right.
I bet Beth does. Where's she at? Probably with the kids. But they got a hoop bed. It's stainless steel made like this. And they hang you right by your, they embed this stuff in your scalp and hang you from there if your neck's broken.
Right.
That's the awfulest sight I ever seen in my life. I go in there and he's hanging there. I mean, hanging on a loop, hanging with these things embedded in his scalp. Everybody and their brothers helping Billy. I mean, helping Ronnie. They thought he was going to die. His neck was broke. He started telling me, he said, when they was up in that cove fishing, and all of a sudden that tree just cracked and come right down over top of him, broke his neck. By the way, he walks with a cane, but he's all right now as far as his neck is concerned. But what I was wanting you to see, his brother-in-law could not even pray for him because he says, God don't hear me. Let me tell you something. I was over in Liberty, Kentucky in a revival meeting. me and Dwight Coughlin. No, I'm sorry. It wasn't Dwight, it was Fred Jones. He said, Brother Sisson, go with me to make some visits. We go downtown Liberty, knocked on the door. This real neat man come to the door, had a plaid shirt on and buttoned up to here. And he invited us in. He's an elderly man. I think he's in his 90s. He sat down in a rocking chair there, and I'm sitting over here. So we just started talking about the Lord. His wife had passed away. So I said, sir, are you a saved man? And tears just started running down his face like, a river. I'm thinking, this man's going to get wonderfully, gloriously saved. I crawled on my knees over in front of him, on my knees. And I said, can I help you? You know what he told me? Son, used to you could have, but God don't hear me now. Oh, Lord, help me. I said, I thought maybe he just don't understand. So I went through the plan of salvation again. Over and over I went through the plan of salvation. He said, you don't understand. God don't hear me anymore. Right. He said, there's a time in my life the Spirit of God dealt with me. Right. But he said, God don't deal with me no more. Man alive, you don't know. For over and over, I sat there and pleaded and begged and pleaded and begged, but that's not all of the story. I went back there and got in the path. I shook hands with him, hugged his neck, prayed for him. Had every intention of coming back again and visiting. I got in the pastor's side of the car and I waved at him like this, and he waved at me, standing in the door. Can you believe the next day he had an aneurysm and died? Wow. The next day.
Yes.
And now I hear them words all the time, sis.
Right.
God don't hear me. Ain't that awful? You can send away your day of grace. I don't know if you know what I mean by that. You'll come a point in your life that one day God will never deal with you again. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. There comes a time that God says, all right, you just cross over the line. I know this ain't very acceptable and people don't like it. There are some people as just fuel for the fire.
That's right.
I don't like that part of it. I don't like that part, and I don't know who they are, so I'm going to tell everybody they need to get saved. But there are some people that God has given over to a reprobate mind, being filled with all unrighteousness, that Bible says they're just fuel for the fire. God gives them over to a reprobate mind, being filled. So we're commanded to be filled with the Spirit of God, and the same way a lost person can be filled with the demons of hell. And I'm sorry. I'm telling you, people are so filled with demons. And everybody says, oh, Brother Sisson, don't say that. If there's demons in the days of Christ, there's demons now, except they've learned how to use their skills. Could I tell you something going to really blow y'all circuit board? You know one of the biggest tools the devil's using on all of us? Guess what it is? It's called social media. Can you believe I know of a church? Look at me. Everybody look at me. I know of a church that lost 29 members as a result of going on Facebook. You can't believe how many people that I know that have wives that's left their husband as a result of a chat room. Just somebody that don't even know. What about a woman or a man or woman that would leave, never seen eyes on, drive all the way to Alabama just to hook up with them? God help us. I'm telling you, people don't see this. They don't see it. They refuse to see it. But this media system is going to kill us. I don't mind telling you, I love President Trump. But I wish to goodness he'd get off that, whatever you call it. What? Is it tweeting? What? Let's get off from it. But I wish he would get off of that stuff. But listen to me, I can ruin Brother Billy. No, I ain't even going to go there. I could ruin him. I could ruin any preacher in this room. All I have to do is just get online, type it all in there, and you know people would believe it. They'd never search out the facts of it. They just believe it. People want to believe the worst about you anyway. Porter can live gun barrel straight 50 years of his life and do one thing wrong, whatever that wrong is, and they'll believe the wrong for the rest of his life. Won't believe any of the good. That's a human nature. This flesh you got stinks. It's rotten in the eyes of God. Look in verse 13, everybody. And God would not hear. Hope. Wouldn't that be awful? laying in a hospital bed and boy, your last breath going out of your body and you try to talk to the Lord and he don't even hear you. Guys, I know y'all don't believe this. I've seen boys a lot bigger than you guys are, big old arms, massive arms. Let me tell you this in closing. My wife and I went to Williamstown, Kentucky, I believe it was. I was in revival in Falmouth. And they had this boy, he was a bouncer. I've known him all of his life. Witness to him. Randy was just mean as a junkyard dog. He had arms about this big. And he lift weights all the time. And he was in a bouncer, Covington and Newport. That's all he done. He loved to fight. He would hurt people. I mean, he would hurt them. I went up to see his daddy. They told me his daddy was real bad. And we was always close. He's laying there in a recliner, and here's what he said. Brother Sisson, please pray for Randy. Well, Randy was in the next room. I didn't even know he'd been in a motorcycle wreck, but he's in the next room. So we prayed for that dear man and his wife. Well, Randy come down the hall, big old arm, big old muscle-looking thing. And I said, hey, Randy, how you doing? And hugged his neck. He had one of them empty professions that people make when he was 9 or 10 years old. I said, Randy, did you ever get your heart right with God?
No.
Had this ball cap on, big old arms. I said, your daddy's really concerned about you, Randy. I said, your mama's really concerned about you. He stood there stoic like this, just stoic. I hugged on him a little bit. We went to the house. Can you believe that boy come in that room the next day, the very next day, got down at the side of his dad in that, no, that's not right. I'm sorry, I'm getting ahead of myself. Cliff died, that's his daddy. Randy come in there where his daddy in that same recliner, and Randy fell over stone dead, a week between his dad and him. Next time I seen Randy, he's laying there in that coffin, and he had this ball cap and a t-shirt on. And these guys come in with our leathers on. They thought they was going to tear up the whole funeral. I said, I ain't worried about them guys. I said, I'm just tell them the same way I can tell you about Jesus. They come in, and they was real orderly. They stood around the walls. Some of them women didn't have enough clothes on to wad a .410 shotgun shell. And them men had their leathers on. They come in and just stood around the wall. And I watched when they, I'm going to talk about Randy. We don't have a clue that Randy was even knew the Lord. But who would have ever thought when I stand there talking to him, then his daddy died, then Randy dies. Who'd ever thought that? But when I seen him in the coffin, his brother wouldn't even come in the funeral home. Now guess where his brother's at? Adam, I don't think Steve knows the Lord. Wicked as hell itself, as far as just, and by the way, before you get too bent out of shape, it's wicked. You may not get drunk, you may not gamble, you may not do drugs, but it's wicked when you leave God out of your life. Yeah. Psalms 9, verse 17, the wicked and the nations that forget God should be turned into hell. When you remember all these backers that I said you about? They come by, and they put stuff in the coffin with Randy. Put stuff in the coffin with him. Little old memorial, a pack of cigarettes, a lighter, you know, that kind of stuff. I hope y'all don't never have to go through a funeral like that in your life. What'd you do, Brother Sisson? I preached as hard as I ever preached in my life on being separated from God and burning in hell. That's all I knew to do. People will come to a funeral when they won't go no place else. That's the best time in the world to tell them about Jesus. But look in verse 13. I want you to listen to this. Y'all have got a great church. You got a great preacher. We've all weathered storms to some degree, but I bet y'all been through some storms here over the years. How many years you been here, Billy?
32 years.
Dear Lord, poor time gets away from me. But have you ever just thought about how much water went underneath the bridge in 32 years? Could I ask you something? According to Zechariah 7, guys, if you'll look, it says, then God would not hear. They would cry unto God, but God wouldn't hear them. A real revival is to bring us into the right relationship with the Lord. Well, if you're here and unsaved, boy, tonight you need to be wonderfully and gloriously saved. Well, you ought to junk all your religion, get you something that'll stick with you to ribs. Go home tonight, boy, just, I mean, you'd enjoy. But what I want you to see, if he said you wouldn't even fast, your food, they didn't even have God in their mind. If you look at all of Zechariah 7, look at us today. Is God the center of our vocal, of our attention? Not as a whole. Not as a whole. Our minds is on bigger this, bigger that, more that, bigger vacations. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. What we need is a moving of God that'll change our anemic lives. Notice in your Bible, they refused to listen. They rejected the advice even of the prophets of God. If you look back in verses 11, they was reckless. They stopped their ears to where they wouldn't have to hear. And they became rock hard, adamant stone. But then notice in your Bible, the results, God wouldn't hear. Let's stand to our feet, please. Heads bowed and eyes closed just for a minute. Boy, the door is open. You can be wonderfully and gloriously saved. Unashamedly tonight, how many of you can say, Brother Simpson, I know I'm saved. Slip your hand up real high. Well, wonderful. Thank the Lord. But if you couldn't tonight, would you let us pray for you? And you'd say, Brother Simpson, please pray for me. God bless you, son. Hey, you young people tonight. Today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Today, the day that God would not hear is in Zechariah 7. Well, some of you had good godly parents. Some of you had a good godly preacher. But what we need is to say, Lord, tune me in to hear the voice of God. Father, forgive us of our anemic lives. Forgive us, Lord, where we've shut you out of our lives. God bless Brother Billy and his people. Lord, I pray that the revival, Lord, would stir in their hearts. Oh, dear God, may we not even wait. Lord, I'm so ashamed, that Lord, that we've killed all these little innocent babies. I'm ashamed, Lord, that we do so little. God, help us. Lord, I pray for thee. I hope this young man understood. May tonight, may he be wonderfully and gloriously saved. God, tonight, forever save person under the sound of my voice. Help us to be ever so in tune to the voice of God. Please, Lord, I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.